Very good. We're going to bring up Sherry Hughes, six-figure ring earner, my sister-in-law, and a millionaire club member, somebody who's reached the platinum level, the platinum jacket, which means that she and her husband David have done it month after month after month for a minimum of three consecutive months. And I think that Sherry has such a special perspective of what life can be like building a successful Legal Shield business. And we're very, very happy that she was willing to accept this responsibility to train. So y'all please help me welcome to the front of the room, six-figure ringer, millionaire club member, Ms. Sherry Hughes.
Introduction that I did today. Let me explain so that I don't have to do it all weekend. This is the new fashion going on right now in my home. About 11 weeks ago, I was working out, thinking I was getting in shape for the summer season, and I came down on my foot wrong. It folded underneath me, and I snapped some ligaments. So it's a long haul. At first, I was like, tell me I didn't just break my foot. Now I wish I would have just broke my foot and got it over with. But anyhow, I am excited to be with you this morning. I always get crazy nervous. This is not my comfort zone, but just hold on and see what happens, because I don't know. Okay, so I want to talk about a few of the key principles that I've learned along the way to have success within this business. And the first would be your personal philosophies. So your philosophies are created throughout your life. That is, how you interacted with your brothers and sisters, how you interacted with your parents, going to school, and you're constantly having these interactions and these life experiences that create these personal philosophies that become of how you act in your life off of these experiences. And two people can go through the exact same exact experience, and walk away with two different philosophies from the same thing. And we'll explain that as the set of your sail. So if you can each imagine that you are given a sailboat and that we're all sailing upon the exact same sea. And before we set sail, we're each going to pick a destination of where do I find myself? What's going to bring me joy, happiness, and success in my life? Where is my end goal? And so before we set to sail, that's what we determine. We get in the boat, into our sailboat, and what happens? The winds pick up. And once the winds pick up, the waves pick up. And our ship is tossed from side to side. And those are our challenges in our life. We have marital issues, we have financial problems, our teenagers happen in our lives. These things, and I think a lot of times we have a personal philosophy that those things are saved for the people that are impoverished or not doing well. But it doesn't matter who you are, how successful you are in anything that you do, challenges and trials will come to you no matter where you are in your life. The difference is the man who will stay at the bottom of his boat, hunkered down because of all the winds and the turmoil at sea, and the other who stands back up and decides to reset his sail because he knows where he wants to go. So it's not about the trials, it's not about what we will face, that's a given. Every one of us will be given things that we think at times we won't be able to overcome, or that seem bigger than we are. But how your philosophy is against, or how your what determines you making it to your destination is being able to stand back up and resetting your sail. The greatest challenge we will ever face in life will be able to control our own thinking. And this is something that I learned pretty early on in our marriage. When Dave and I got married, it was probably, I want to say a year after we got married, and we're driving down the road, and Dave turns to me and says, honey, you know, there's a book I'd really like you to read. And it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I was like, I'm sorry, but I have friends. People like me. Why would you say that to me? I was so offended that he thought I needed personal development. I'm your wife. I'm amazing and perfect, right? That's what you said. So I kind of pushed all of that aside. side as far as I never read any of that. I was fine the way that I was. And he was getting his doctorate at Parker University in Dallas. And a gentleman came and spoke to us whose name was Bob Proctor. And he gave us each a book. And I went home, and I say I hid, because I did. I waited till he left to read this book so he didn't see that I was reading something. And I fell in love. It was an eye-opening experience, as it would have been at any time, but it had to be my choice, not his choice. Start on that. And one of those things is managing your own thoughts. And it surprised me how quickly my thoughts were not where I had set my sail to go. And that, you know, I said I wanted these things, but my thoughts were constantly putting me somewhere else. And so, you know, as you continue on your journey, you know, audit your thoughts. Where are your thoughts? Where, you know, when it's the quiet moments driving down the street or you're about to go to bed, are your thoughts, you know, focused on the things that are getting you to your destination, or are they the ones creating the winds and the waves? I tell you a story about the Emperor Moth. If you haven't heard this, there's a gentleman that stepped outside of his doorway and he saw this huge, beautiful cocoon. And he wanted to bring it in and care for it, and found a ton of interest in this cocoon. And he watched it. And one day he noticed that there was a small crack. And he was like, yes, you know, that beautiful butterfly or moth. I don't even know if he knew what was going to come out of it. And so he watched it for hours, and this moth struggled and struggled. It seemed like at times was making zero progress in the process of coming out of this cocoon. And so, being the nice, kind gentleman that he was, took a pair of scissors and cut just a little bit to help let that moth come out. And when he did, the moth did emerge very quite easily, but it was very deformed, and the wings were very wrinkled, and his body was heavy, and that moth was never able to fly. What the man didn't realize was that those struggles that moth had to go through, that tiny little hole, pushed all the fluid from his body into those wings so that they were big enough and strong enough to carry the weight of his body. So in his kindness of wanting to help him go through those trials, he actually set him back and allowed them. That moth never flew a day in his life, never got to be the beautiful person or bug that it was supposed to be. And that is the same in our lives. You know, I think that sometimes we wish things were easier. Why do I have to go through this? Or, you know, can't somebody take this off of my plate? You know, isn't there somebody who's more successful or better that can help do this for me? You know, give me that jump start. But you won't be able to sustain it. You won't ever be able to fly unless you've gone through every one of those struggles yourself. So don't wish that it was easier. Wish that you were better. So the next principle is your attitude. So what we know determines our philosophies. How we feel about what we know determines your attitude. And the past is just that, the past. A lot of us can look at our past and say, well, you know, I went through this, or I grew up in this area, or my parents did this to me, you know, all these circumstances, and this is why I am where I am today. And that's not true. The past is just that. It's the past. The present is today, and that's when you can decide. Today I will make a choice that I didn't make yesterday, or I will do a small discipline that I didn't do yesterday that will help me to reach the destination that I have set forth. And the great thing about that is that it doesn't take long for you to start seeing those changes. You know, auditing your thoughts, that small change, you will notice that, you know, it seems so simple, but you will notice huge changes in your life from one simple discipline added to your life. Negative thoughts, you know, we talked about that. Reading good books, listening to good audios, and we'll get into some more. And then the future. So what the mind has the capacity to imagine, it has the ability to create. And I think that that's a beautiful thing, and it goes on either end. And if you have set your destination as to where you want to end up, put that in your actions on a daily basis. You won't see it right away, but you will start feeling the difference that you're getting closer and closer. My analogy to this is working out. You know, obviously it didn't work out well this last time, but a lot of times, you know, people are like, I finally want to get to the gym and do it. It doesn't take but probably a week, maybe less, of eating right and working out that you feel different. People may not be like, wow, you look great, but you feel great. You are already feeling that change happening within your body. You don't have to wait a year for those results. And it's the same with these small disciplines in our lives. There's little things that you can do in your life that will help you to feel better, feel more successful, feel happier, and feel more joy so that you can attract those things into your life. The third principle is associations, and I think we've heard a lot about this, but who do you hang around with? And do you need a better center of influence? And a lot of times I think that this is hard for people because you're like, well, I know who I know. How am I supposed to go hang out with people that are successful? I mean, I don't live next to them. They don't ask me to come over to their house. So how exactly am I supposed to get into that center of influence? And I think a great way to do this is reading. Read. These people, I mean, when I read a book, part of the reason I don't like reading books, and I read, is because I get so attached to the people and who they are that I don't want it to end. And I think if you find people that you admire, you know, the founders of our country, successful people, people that have lived a life and had the success and have written about it to share with you, though, that could be your center of influence. If you feel like you're not in a crowd or already in a place that is going to give you that boost of where you want to be, of those associations. Gratitude. This is a huge one. I think, like I said, I have one of those beautiful trials of teenagers in my home. And I think that some of the philosophy that I see coming through the younger generation is that I'll be grateful once I have the thing. You know, I'll say thank you once you've given me something. But think of it this way. Well, how many parents do we have in the room? Okay, so all of you understand. If you have one child who you get a small little toy for and they just think it's the greatest thing ever, their reaction of, I love it, thank you so much, mom. You know, you're just like, that is so adorable, you're so cute, it's so small. It's like the smallest thing that they're so grateful for. And then you have a kid, you got them an iPhone 7, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
This case kind of sucks. Like, who got the better of the gifts, you know, in the world's mind, is the iPhone 7, right? But as a parent, who do you want to give more to? The one that has the gratitude. So wherever your belief system is, if that's the universe or in my life, it's my Heavenly Father. He will give more to me if I am grateful for not only what I have, but what I have the ability to have, what I would love to have. It's the small, tiny things in my life that I should show gratitude for. It's the new day. It's the sun that's shining that is on my face, and I walk out, and I'm like, I love the sun. It's the smell of my food cooking in the morning. It's every little thing. Are you grateful for it? Or are you mad that the griddle didn't cook even? You know what I mean? It's those little philosophies that you can change in your life that will help create such a big difference for you. So, and we talked about that. You don't need to have all that you want to be grateful for it. Okay, so I'm going to show a video of a gentleman who I think during a time in his life when it probably would have been easy to not show gratitude, I want you to hear how many times he says in this video how grateful he was.
It's sad to see a fighter that was once the caliber of James Braddock reduced to this.
Listen to me. Your legs are getting heavy. You're too slow. It's over.
Just give me another fight, Jim.
What's done is done.
Good old.
I'm sorry, Jimmy.
I'm always behind you.
Bad luck.
I didn't always lose. I won't always lose again. I can still fight. I have a lot to be grateful for. I have three beautiful, healthy, troublemaking kids. You know, I have the prettiest wife a man could wish for. We live in a great country. I guess I'm grateful for the opportunity. I know that these days not everybody gets a second chance.
They've lost pretty much everything that you could imagine to lose, and he still finds it to find the things that he is grateful for during that time. And what a beautiful example that can be to us in our lives. So the fifth key principle is activity. We all say that we want success, but at some point our level of activity must equal our level of intent. A great idea that I like for this is before you go to bed at night, I would have a stack of index cards by your bedside. And before you go to sleep, I would plan, what do you want your day to look like tomorrow? What is going to help you achieve the most success in tomorrow, bring you the most happiness? And then I want you to visualize, what does that look like? So that you have created it mentally, then write down those things on your card and lay it next to your bed. And the next morning when you wake up, instead of grabbing your phone to see what tweets have come through or what Facebook is saying or Instagram, whatever your poison may be, to grab that card and re-go through your mind what you have created that your day will be. And set that as your daily ritual to create success in your life. A lot of times we wake up and just like we talked about with setting our sail, we just push off. And we're like, I hope I get there somehow. Some way, but we have the tools, and sometimes because they are so simple that we either learn them and stop doing them, or we don't do them at all. And so if you know this information, then maybe it's a good reminder, and if you don't, then apply these things, apply these simple disciplines to help you get the success that you need in your life. And these are things that don't necessarily have to be in your Legal Shield business, but what do you want that brings you joy and happiness on a daily basis in your life? So the next is fear. I think a lot of people don't achieve success or achieve what they want because of fear. And we all know that that stands for false evidence appearing real. A story that I, when I was preparing for this training that I created a while ago, my husband, for some of you that do or don't know, is a pilot, a recreational pilot. And he got his pilot's license, and it's called a sports license, so it's a small plane. And he had invited me as soon as he was able to, I want you to come out with me. Bring the kids, bring everybody, I want you to come. And I was just like, okay. I'm not a huge fan of heights, but I wasn't nervous. I was just like, okay. You know, I kind of had gone through that journey because I listened to every flight that he'd ever done and every landing and how great it was and not great it was. So I brought I want to say that she was like 3 or 4 year old, and then his twin came out. And we're at the airport, and he took Alyssa, my youngest, out and did a traffic pattern, which basically means that you just fly out, you do the square, and you come and you land back down. Pretty simple. So he takes Alyssa up and comes back down. Alyssa's like, that's awesome! Yes, he's the best! And I was like, that looks fun. I was like, I'm next, I'll be fine. Mike was gonna go last because they probably were gonna go on a journey somewhere. I was gonna do the traffic pattern and head back home. So we get in and have these headsets, so it's not controlled airspace. So the pilots speak to each other to understand who's going where so that there's no accidents within the air. So you've got this on, and I really want him, you know, it's like fancy airplane talk of alpha something something, who knows? And so I don't want to be disruptive because I want him to like listen to what's happening in the air. So I got my ear things on and we can talk to each other this way. And we come around and it's our turn and he's taken off and I'm like, I'm fine. And then I'm like, I'm not fine. And I'm holding on to my seatbelt. And I am literally losing my mind. And I don't know how to describe it other than it was the most terrifying thing I've ever done in my whole entire life. And I am singing church songs in my head with my eyes closed, praying that I can make it back to Earth. I just want to get back to Earth. And I'm bawling my eyes out. I honestly felt like if a bird just pooped on us, that would be the end of it. Just gone, done, it's over. But I didn't want Dave to know that I'm freaking out because then he's going to freak out that I'm freaking out. So I am just silently torturing myself. So I don't know how long a traffic pattern could be, but it seemed forever. So we get all the way down, and he lands, and he looks over, and he's like, hey! And I am drenched. I have, my whole shirt is wet from tears of just crying. And he's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, that was awful! I hate it! Never do that again! It was horrible. I did try twice to, like, peek open my eyes, and it took me 2 weeks to get over that. I kept having nightmares and shakes, and it was horrifying. So, you know, my husband, who this is his new greatest wonderful passion that he wants to share with me, and I am like, I will never, ever, 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 ever get in an airplane with you again. So that's that day. That's before we took off. I was quite happy and just fine. So here is a video of how this all played out. By this time, you should know my story, my first flying experience. So now I'm about to have my second flying experience. And I pretty much want to puke right now. And I'm going to try my hardest.
Let's see your hands.
Yeah. Hey, so, my first experience that I just shared with you is horrifying. And this is one of my biggest fears, heights. So I figure, why just be the passenger and try it again? Why not just fly the plane, right? So that's the plan today, is I'm walking now to an airplane to fly it myself. Which, a little bit like diving off a cliff for me, but my plan is to be coachable, teachable, and listen to the expert.
How are you doing?
I'm ready to fly
the plane. Yeah? Alright. I'll come here when we get inside.
Thank you. next to me. I think that that was the key, that David will never be an expert to me. I know him too well. I've heard too many bumpy landing stories. So, but I couldn't do this with knowing that my greatest fear was in the back. So I was like, I can't go up and do that training without having overcome that to some degree. And so thank you for supporting me. One more video that I want to show you, and as we watch this, you know, this song came from a time when we were in a recession, and that doesn't apply as much today, but I think that each of us can be in our own personal recessions, not an economic recession, so think of that as you listen to this.
About 3 months ago, they announced they're closing it down. It's been here since 1969, and it's kind of been on shaky grounds the last few years. About 2,000 people are going to be out of work, and this is a small town. This is probably going to have a ripple effect and dry the whole town up. We get to talk to people today, we'll know more about what's going on.
I'm Tony Bryant, and I've worked at this tire plant for 13 years in Maine, and today is my last day. Cleaned out my locker, throw those steel-toed shoes away.
Everything to know about me is written on this page. The number you can reach me, my social and my age. Yes, I served in the Army, it's where I learned to shoot. 18 months in the desert, pouring sand out of my boots. No, I've never been convicted of a crime. I could start this job at any time. I got a strong back, steel toes. Rarely call in sick. A good truck, what I don't know. I catch on real quick. I work weekends if I have to, nights and holidays, Kiwi 40 and then some, whatever it takes, $3 and change at the pump. The cost of living's high going on.
We went to work that day, there it was. About your kids, you know what they gonna do, you know what we gonna do.
I put Robert down as a reference. He's known me all my life. We attend the same church. He introduced me to my wife. Gave my last job everything before it headed south. Took the shoes off of my children's feet, food out of their. My folks offered to help, but they're barely getting by themselves. I got a strong back, steel toes. I rarely call in sick. A good truck, what I don't know. I catch on real quick. I work weekends if I have to. Nights and holidays, give you 40 and then some, whatever it takes, $3 and change at the pump. Cost of living's high.
Yeah, cost of living's high, and well, I said it's going to get higher.
I'm sure 100 others have applied. I got a strong back, steel toes. I'm handy with a wrench. There's nothing I can't drive, nothing I can't fix. I work sun up to sun down. Ain't too proud to sweep the floors. Bank has started calling, and the wolves are at my door. $3 and change at the pump. cost of living's high. Going up.
I really don't know what I'm going to do. I've got two boys. One of them's fixing to go off to college. It's going to be a real eye-opener for people once this plant's gone.
It will help you achieve your greatness, which will in turn only help others achieve theirs. Thank you for letting me be here today.